ground structure of the spirit sphere?
Well, I should imagine the answer to that would be that it's never anything else but exciting. But the trouble always is how to explain this in words, to explain or depict it. I haven't a clue. Because there are so many things that one cannot depict or describe, language being impossible.
Yes, of course.
There are so many things that there aren't even words that could depict or describe. You see, there are so many varying degrees of existence, so many stages of evolution, so many different types, so many peoples that one meets and one takes an interest in, and they take an interest in oneself, that really one hardly knows how to begin. Because when you consider the immensity of the whole thing, the realization that must come, when you consider that untold millions upon millions upon millions of people have come over here through generations and generations of time in all different degrees of evolution, different types of individuals, good, bad, and indifferent, educated, uneducated, all different different nationalities with different viewpoints, different angles, different approach to life. In fact, the whole immensity of it is such that to even begin to depict or describe the minutest part of Binger's description, I mean, one just doesn't know how to begin.
Yeah, sure, it must be.
I mean, if I give you, as I have in the past, I tell you about a certain aspect of life here, a certain sphere, that in itself is a mere speck, you might say, in the whole spheres, many spheres of activity. I mean, I depict to you a great city, and I describe it to you. And
describe, oh, no, you haven't, darling.
Describe some of the life in that city.
Do.
It's only a very minute part of even one sphere.
Yes. I mean, there are great
I have myself spent much time in what you would term a great city, in which there are many types of buildings, for instance, created by the individuals, the architects and designers, and people who have the ability to do this in various ways. In appearance, they looked as if they might have been built from mother of pearl, for instance. The beauty of the buildings is such that if you could visualize an antique city, that is, shall we say, an ancient Greek city, with beautiful buildings, with great domed roofs built from mother of pearl, and the light which suffuses is not like the sun, it's not an intense brilliance, but it's a beautiful, soft, glowing radiance which illumines the buildings, and from these buildings soft pastel colours come, which catch the light, and which reflect it, and which bring it into a sort of almost a fairyland, you might say, from the point of view of the fact that the buildings themselves look as if they are suspended almost, you might say, in space. And some of these buildings in themselves house great libraries of books, for instance, and places where one can go and one can read and one can study and one can go back into past lives and histories of peoples and races. And some of these books are most beautifully illustrated, and the workmanship is such that they're again Binger's description, and the colourings are so magnificent, even in illustrations of books. And then again there are great buildings devoted to music, in which are great auditoriums, in which thousands of people gather to listen to great music created by great musicians on all manner of instruments, many instruments indeed which you do not know of on earth, conducted often by great composers like Chopin and others, Mozart, for instance. And then again you find all manner of costume according to the individual, of course. Most people wear a kind of flowing robe, which is not unlike the ancient Romans, the toga type of dress, in varied colours and hues. Often people wear colours according to their mood, for instance, and you see many, many colours. Most of them are delicate. Occasionally one might be very brilliant. Purples and mauves and blues, pinks, kinds of materials are yours, you'd be surprised. Over here it seems that everything that man wants to constitute a beautiful existence, where beauty is indeed the supreme factor, is possible. But it seems also that whatever you may wear, or whatever you may experience, or whatever house you may live in, or whatever state of being you may find yourself in, depends entirely upon the individual's mind, or shall I perhaps most likely say, the individual's spiritual achievement or attainment, according to one's progress. So you surround yourself with such beauty or such condition of life as you yourself have made possible for yourself by your sort of desiring and uprising within yourself. It's an impersonal thing, or whatever one may find with oneself, or whatever way you may live, is all a matter of yourself, from within yourself. As I said, there are great cities here, and also there's all form of nature, beautiful birds of many hues and beautiful colourings. And if only you could go, as we do sometimes, into the, what you would term the countryside, into the forests, and also into the fields, you would find that there was such beauty in nature itself, the colouring of the grass, for instance, and the towering trees and the flowers. Sometimes the flowers themselves are taller than men. They seem to grow to extreme height here, and it's as if they themselves are sometimes like a forest. For instance, you name a forest of flowers. Sometimes these flowers are very different to what you know on earth, although there are many of the flowers, if not all, that you associate with the earth. Here you can have all the things that are necessary to you when you yourself have deserved them. You will find people who take a great joy and delight in developing and looking after a garden, and who themselves, by their very nature, help to bring into being a great deal of beauty, which often develops indirectly from themselves. I mean, man may take great interest in his garden to the extent that it becomes almost, you might say, a mirror, or reflecting himself and what his nature is like and what he himself is like as a person. Everything here reflects the people, and the people reflect also in return the conditions under which they exist. There are great lakes, and there are also mountainous country, which in itself may seem to you, perhaps, when one talks about mountains, as perhaps something rather unnecessary. But there is a great beauty and loveliness in the mountains, and there is no feeling, as some people might have with mountains, of depression. And if you want, of course, you can climb, but no one feels the need to climb. It's not necessary. The point is here that although we walk and our feet touch the ground, we also know that if we wish, we can transport ourselves, by the very desiring to transport ourselves at vast distances to other different aspects of life, and enter into a new condition of life with other souls on a different sphere, providing, of course, we have reached that state within ourselves to make it possible. And often we visit other spheres nearer the earth, and these conditions of life, of course, are in themselves very different. But nevertheless, we feel the need to enter into them sometimes. Perhaps we may be able to help an individual or people here and there whose needs are many and great. And there you'll find an entirely different state of life altogether, of course, brought into being by the very people who inhabit it. And you find often a depressing, what would be to me and probably would be to you, depressing state of being, where everything seems to be rather depressing from the point of view that there is little colour. In fact, you might almost say that the world in which some people live is a sort of monochrome. There is no colour. It's almost, you might say, a kind of black and white, in which colour seems to play no part at all. But this is due to the fact that the people themselves have not progressed, and they have not allowed themselves to develop or evolve. In other words, they themselves have created a condition of which, to the vast majority of people who have progressed, would be most depressing, but which to them is quite natural. And they don't understand, or perhaps they haven't reached the point where they want to understand, that there are other conditions of life more evolved and more beautiful. Everything is a state of mind, and a man evolves accordingly. As he progresses, so he reaches up to greater heights and has greater experiences, and vaster knowledge and more beauty. Beauty is something which man himself, unconsciously perhaps, but quite often consciously, creates by his effort. When man desires beauty and works for beauty and appreciates beauty, then he surrounds himself gradually with beauty and enters into a state of life where beauty is such that it is almost impossible to be able to describe, because great artists and great peoples of great intelligence and great spiritual evolving have created this condition. Everything is a state of mind.
Yes, well, that's most interesting, darling. Most interesting. And would there be, see, in this ideal city, as well as libraries, I suppose, there would be art galleries?
Oh, yes. For instance, great painters still paint. They feel the need to express themselves in colour and in form and shape, and they create great works of art which surround many of the walls of these great buildings. The great artists sometimes in a new building will take over and they will paint various subjects on the walls for decoration.
Yes.
Of course, we have places of what you would term religion, I suppose, that is, temples, but they're by no means narrow and confined in their outlook and thought. They are temples of the mind. Religion's not a good word to use. They are places where man himself can enter in and by his very thought process so aspire that the whole place becomes vibrant with music and colour, and it's a place in which you feel, and indeed you are, sort of reaching out even into other spheres far more removed than that in which you find yourself, in which they in turn are responding and re-echoing their thoughts and their songs too. Indeed, in these places there is a kind of what you would call a transportation of the soul, that is, a reaching out in such a way that you are blending with souls of a higher nature from other spheres who enter into that condition with you and are able to make themselves seen and heard. And indeed, in these places we learn a great deal. We learn from other souls, from other spheres of their life and experience, and they are helping us and guiding us and showing us the path too. You see, all life is movement, all life is change, all life is evolving from one sphere to another. And we do this sometimes, perhaps so gradually that we are hardly conscious of it, but nevertheless the changes that are taking place are there. They may be very subtle, as indeed they often are, as indeed they are when on earth. A person changes, not necessarily all people, but some, and especially when they have the knowledge and the realization of truth that you, for instance, have found, that in itself gives one the opportunity and makes it possible to open up oneself to higher thoughts and higher realization. And the communication that takes place over here in the similarest kind of way. We have what you would term mediums, or perhaps not in the same sense as you understand the term, but nevertheless a form of mediumship where souls who have reached a high degree of evolution or development are able to tune into higher spheres and receive and transmit messages and even give other things of interest which will benefit the rest of the community. We live in a kind of community state, but it is a perfect community because all the peoples that are living here are in harmony and in love together as brothers and as sisters. There is no one who stresses authority, and yet authority does exist, but it is kind of authority to which one always willingly subscribes. There is no sort of leader in the sense, or leaders in the sense that you understand it, but nevertheless there are people who we know to be more highly evolved and whom we respect and regard and who we accept in a kind of sense as leaders. But no leader, no person who has really progressed ever tries to force others in any shape or form, or makes any other individual conform. We are, in a sense, non-conformists. In the sense, too, we realize that if man is to progress, he must be free. The only real form of progression that matters is a freedom of spirit to express yourself and to evolve gradually according to the instruction and the guidance that you receive. No one can be made into anything. A person must make himself or herself. It is something that must come automatically from within oneself. One may be shown the way or the path, and indeed that is the whole point, that one can be shown the way, one can be shown the path, but no one can force you onto it. You yourself must follow it and make what you can out of it and from it and become accordingly, in consequence, something which expresses that which you have found. That is why religion, when it's properly understood and applied in your world, can be a great and a wonderful thing if you are expressing it in the right sense. If you've assimilated it and have become part of it, then you can express, as Christ himself said, that we ourselves could become like unto him. And when we do, then we truly have found the true path and the realization of what can be achieved. In other words, we must do, not just think, what we must become. And we must, once we have become, we must expound, and having expounded, we must demonstrate. In other words, we've got to be a living thing. All life must, if it is to be life at all, must be a reality, it must be a living thing. It's not something that is dead and dormant, it is not something that happened and has since died. This is a real world, this is a world of great reality and great promise, where we know that all things are possible. But we ourselves must make the effort. No one can do it for us. We may be shown and helped and guided, but we ourselves must do it. No one can do it for us. That is the true meaning, of course, behind the teachings of Christ. He himself realized that if one followed in his footsteps, if one endeavored to do the things that he said we could do, then truly we could find the way and the salvation, if you like. In other words, we save ourselves. No one does it for us. We can only be saved when we ourselves make the attempt, make the effort. We can save ourselves from all the dire consequences of evil and wrong thinking, but we ourselves must do it. No one can do it for us. In other words, life is a continuous state of being which fluctuates and changes, but all the time we are experiencing, and as we are experiencing, so we are becoming more and more evolved. Life is motion, life is movement, it's not static, it's not just something that happened when you were on earth for a brief span of time and that is the end. The earth life is but a speck in time itself. It is necessary, important, in which we learn lessons which are essential and necessary for our evolving later on. But we must never realize or think that any particular time, no matter how many years it may be, whether it's on your side or this, is the complete. Indeed, there's no such thing as being complete. If it became complete, then you'd cease to exist, because there would be nothing left to experience. In other words, life is movement, change, constant experiencing new ideas, new thoughts, evolving. Otherwise, if we knew all things, we'd become bored and disinterested. There'd be nothing left to live for. All life must be like that, constant change, constant awareness, constant consciousness of new things, new hopes, new desires, new realizations. This is life, and this is what is eternal life.
Yes. I suppose we could have a few little cozy patches here where we were not progressing quite so rapidly.
Of course.
I feel it's going to be such a terrible strain if we're always urging towards...
I think you perhaps misunderstand, inasmuch that there's not this urging. Everything here... takes, in a sense, time. We're not forced into anything. It's the desire within ourselves that drives us, and it is not something... You mustn't get the idea that you're up and doing all the time.
Oh, Lord, I'm so glad. I should like to relax occasionally.
You'll relax, all right. There's a lot to be learnt in relaxation.
Yes.
Anyway, I must go.
Well, that was wonderful.
Anyway, all my love and God bless.
I think one of the most wonderful talks, don't you think, Mr. Flint?
I think it's marvellous, yes.
I think it was just super.
Well, I must go. God bless. Goodbye.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mickey. Thank you.
Very good today, wasn't it?
Oh, I think that was...